Hello and welcome to the Paid Search Podcast. My name is Chris Schaefer, and today we're going to talk about Google Ads. We're going to go through our normal process of getting you the most information you can get out of the next 30, 35, 40 minutes than you can really imagine. You're about to get a ton of information. I have a question from a listener. I have a metric of the week that we're going to discuss, and we have the topic of the week, which, as you know, based on the title, it's about broad match keywords and why they're cheaper and what that means. So we're going to go through all of that, and I guarantee you're going to learn something. That is my goal every single episode, that you will learn something. This week is no different. Before I start into my educational segment, I'm going to remind you about Optio.com/PSP. That is the special link that you can go to try Optio for yourself. I hear from people all the time on the podcast that tell me, Chris, I use it. It's a normal part of my management process. We're an agency and the whole team uses it. Or Chris, I'm a freelancer and I'm trying to work my way up and get more and more clients, and it helps me to get more done faster for my clients. No matter who you are, even if you're just a single business owner, this tool is designed for you. If you're trying to get more out of Google Ads, this tool is for you. It helps you from everything from bids to ad copy to keywords, negative keywords, everything in between. What it is you log in to Optio and it gives you information that you might be missing, that you don't know about your account. Hey, did you realize this particular keyword is underperforming compared to the last 2 months? Hey, did you know that this landing page suddenly stopped responding and the ads were disapproved? Hey, did you know that there was a massive spike in impressions for this keyword, and there's a potential, something's happening here? Alerts that you need to know about that work across Slack, that work across email, that work across their wonderful interface. All of it is super easy to use. You're going to love it. You can try it for free for 8 weeks, 2 months for free. That's twice as long as you'll get if you just sign up on their normal website. But if you go to opteo.com/PSP, you get a 2 month free trial of their super awesome tool, which I highly, highly recommend. Okay, so let's jump into the metric of the week. This is where I talk about something important about your Google Ads account that you need to know about. And this week, it is about site links. So site links are the other little links that show underneath a paid ad. You see them all the time whenever you do searches. Hopefully you've set them up in your account and you are able to point people to a pricing page or a quote form or a specific product page or a specific service page. Lots of ways that you can use site links, but that's not the discussion for today. For the metric of the week, I always like to talk about the numbers behind these things. And the thing about site links is that many people don't realize it can divert traffic away from your headline. So the headline is what your landing page, your website, wherever you're pointing people to as your main ad final URL. That's your headline link, right? That's your final URL link. It's going to be going to a site link or something on your site, okay? That is important because that's where the product is, the service is. That's the main URL, the final URL. Now, these site links can divert people from that and point them to something that they find more interesting. Perhaps it's a page that gives them a potential to watch a webinar or something like that. There's a lot of reasons you could use it. Did you know that you can use the segment button to try and find out how much traffic is being diverted from your headline clicks to your site link clicks? So if you go to your campaigns view and look for the segment button, look for the segment button, and then once you click it, click on click type. Click type. So if you click on click type, that's a lot of clicks. If you click on click type, it will break out all the clicks that you've gotten and tell you whether the person clicked on a phone number, whether they clicked on the headline of the ad, maybe they clicked on the image extension, maybe they clicked on the site link. Do you know how many people are clicking on your site links? Maybe there's people who clicked get location details. All of these are types of clicks, click types, that can be segmented and you can analyze this information. You say, okay, Chris, great. More data to look at, more things to worry about. Well, it's important because I have seen a lot of accounts that might have 30, 40, 50% of the traffic going to their site links. And why is that a bad thing? Well, it might be a site link that's a pricing page. And that pricing page just has a table of the services they offer, or a pricing page showing how much their rental prices are. No content, no pictures, really just ugly, right? Just an ugly page. And someone has no reason to read further. They see a price, $3,000, $300, and they're like, nope. They immediately throw the back button, hit the back button, boom, gone. You paid for that click. That click cost you money, but they never landed on your actual final URL, landing page, website. They went to a sub page. They went to a site link page. I've seen this be a detriment to an account because this account might be losing 30, 40, 50% of its traffic, diverting it into the site link, which has a very poor conversion rate. So this is important to know. Check your click types at the campaign level, at the ad group level, at the keyword level. You can check it at multiple levels and find out, are you losing traffic from what you think is most important? And perhaps you might need to rethink which site links you are sending people to. Maybe it's a detriment to the performance of your campaign. So that's metric of the week. Be sure and check that. Let's move on from here to the question of the week. As you know, last week I had a call out and I asked you guys to please send in questions. I had a bunch of questions come in, so thank you so much. If you would like to send in your question, I promise you, I read every single one, and most of the time I answer them. If I have not answered your question, please resend it, or you know, rephrase it, or you know, I get a lot of questions, and you'll be surprised. I eventually get to almost every single question that's sent to me. So that's paidsearchpodcast.com. You can find my email there, or you can just email me directly, paidsearchpodcast@gmail.com. So Bruno from Brazil says this. Hi, Chris. I've listened to almost every episode of your show, and I have to say, you and all the knowledge you have been sharing deeply changed the way I work and take care of my family. Thanks a lot. That is, Bruno, that is a phenomenal compliment. I am, not only has it helped your management and the way that you, but it also helps the way that you work and take care of your family. That is, I'm honored to hear that. That's the best compliment someone can give. Thank you. Bruno goes on to say, is it possible for a campaign using broad match keywords to get highly qualified traffic? Just having a lot of negative keywords. Do you have to have a lot of negative keywords in order for it to get qualified traffic through broad match? Due to this great number of negative keywords, would I get the same result if I was running a similar hypothetical campaign with phrase match keywords? Or even a campaign with just exact match keywords. And in the last part of the question, Bruno says, if the results would be the same in terms of traffic, would the CPC be lower in the case of using broad match keywords? This was one of several questions that I got, and I loved this one. And you'll see I actually had already thought about this topic. My topic had already been decided before I pulled up the questions. And I saw this question and I thought, this fits perfectly with the topic that I want to talk about today. So this is actually going to lead us into our topic of the week. But first, I want to answer these questions. Then we're going to talk about the last part of Bruno's question about the lower CPC and what that means. Excellent question, Bruno. Thank you so much for sending it. So the first question, can you get highly qualified traffic through broad match keywords? And does that mean you need thousands potentially of negative keywords? My answer is yes. You can get almost the same qualified traffic as you could with phrase or exact just using broad. I don't know if I've ever stated that so blatantly clear on the podcast, so some of you might be shocked. You might have to clip that and listen to that again. Did he really say that? Yes, I did say that. The only reason I say that is because I've done it. I am doing it. In some accounts, I absolutely have accomplished that. But there are bullet points that I must point out here. There must be context for me to give you a full answer about what this means. So yes, you can almost get the same qualified traffic. Point number one is it takes longer to achieve this. So if you had a campaign that was phrase match and you had a campaign that's broad match, the two of them will not start off at the same level of traffic. They will get different traffic from the beginning. Over time, using negative keywords, using different factors that I'll talk about in a little bit, you can improve your quality of traffic. This takes, when I say time, I don't mean days, I don't mean weeks, I don't mean months. This could take years. And it really depends on whether the ultimate goal can be accomplished or not. It really depends on the industry, the topic, the kind of thing that you're trying to accomplish here. It might be absolutely impossible in some industries. For example, a certain product or a service that is specific. Maybe you sell something only to businesses and you're only B2B focused. You only sell to businesses. You only sell a certain widget to businesses, only a certain service to businesses. It might be impossible for you to achieve that. So if it is even possible, it will take even longer than someone who just sells a widget to anybody. If someone searches for widget XYZ, it's going to be a whole lot easier to just have some broad keywords and train the system to be able to get that kind of traffic for anyone who searches for that, as opposed to only specific people that search for that. So the more specific your traffic, the longer it'll take and the more difficult it will be to achieve. The second point is it's more difficult to control. There is no way to prioritize specific searches. If, for example, you stumble upon a certain search that's doing very well and you want to isolate that and make it more prominent, grab a larger percentage of the search impression share, there is no way that you can do that with broad match keywords. Automated, manual, max clicks, no bidding strategy or anything will allow you to do that because broad match keywords will not specifically target individual search phrases. So it's very difficult to control. So getting there takes longer. Controlling it is more difficult, if not impossible. But there is good news. It does not require tens of thousands of negative keywords. Through proper keyword management, you can train the system. And I'm going to talk more about that in a little bit, but I just want to state that up front because Bruno said in his email, you know, does it take thousands of negative keywords to achieve this? No, it doesn't take thousands because I I've done it in plenty of accounts when it seems to be a good approach for me. And it takes maybe hundreds, definitely not thousands. Absolutely not thousands. One example is I have a client, a longtime client. We're talking, you know, a decade or more with this one client that I've been managing, and they are a custom stress ball manufacturer. This is the perfect scenario for a broad match. Let me explain why. If you want to hand out little promotional stress balls, and stress ball is where, you know, you hold it in the palm of your hand, you squeeze it, you know, it's people that, you know, are going to, you know, get upset. You know, you have a cute little puppy on your desk, you know, and you, when you grab it, its eyes kind of pop out when you squeeze it. You know, little silly little toys, desk toys, right? That you can hand out with your logo on it or something. This is a beautiful implementation of using broad match keywords, because the phrase custom stress ball gets a lot of searches, but that's not the majority of traffic that happens through this industry. The majority of traffic is someone saying custom, or someone saying banana shaped stress ball with logo. Someone says home shaped or car shaped custom stress ball with my logo. That's what they search. Good luck coming up with all the different shapes and requirements that someone wants for these endless amount of stress balls that they, you know, you'll never be able to find all the different ways that people search. I quickly found that out. I found out that custom was an impossible task. Too expensive, not enough volume, didn't convert well. What did convert very well was people doing shapes, you know, all these different shapes. I cannot cover all those shapes. I can't have enough ad groups to cover all the shapes. Every time I create one, there's a billion more that I find. So the solution was broad match keywords. These broad match keywords, over time, I trained them and taught the system to get me the traffic that I want. And it works beautifully. We're talking years and years and years of very low cost per click, high quality traffic, highly converting traffic. 100% broad match. So, yes, you can get the same results as Phrase and Exact. In that example, I got better results than Phrase and Exact. In the example of stress balls, it was easier for me to start with a wider scope and block out the stuff I don't want rather than trying to frame out the things that I do want and end up with 300, 500 ad groups with thousands and thousands of keywords and all Phrase and Exact match. That is actually a bad system for me to build. A huge headache to manage. But the broad works. So it's easier in this instance, but it might be worse if you're in the jewelry business, right? A jewelry store. Maybe you've got a jewelry store and you sell a specific type. Sterling silver, gold, diamond, right? But not every type of diamond. But you sell diamond rings, but you don't want to show up for every kind of diamond ring search out there. But it still needs to be diamond rings. So a phrase match is more appropriate here. A broad match will get you way too many things if you did diamond ring broad match. Not appropriate for a jewelry store where you can't just throw broad match keywords and expect the best kind of qualified traffic. It's not going to be as good. So I hope that makes sense. It really depends on what you're trying to accomplish and whether it's going to work for you. And you say, well, Chris, will it work for me or not? I don't know. It's really hard to tell. You'll have to ask yourself the honest question, do I fit in an instance of what Chris is talking about where I need a wider reach? There's a lot of variety. Be honest, you know, because if you're a plumber, If you're an HVAC company, if you're a jeweler, if you sell shoes, people only search certain ways for certain things that you sell. You don't really need to come up with 1,500 different ways of people looking for a plumber. Most people are going to be searching the same kind of way. So it's pretty limited. You don't really need broad match. But other times, it is absolutely better. So the final question that Bruno brings up, and this is the one that actually brings us into the topic of the week, which I thought was a really good question. And I'll read the question again, and then we'll take us into the topic of the week. If the results would be the same in terms of traffic, okay, so Bruno's saying, okay, if I can accomplish this, would the lower cost per click be possible simply because I'm using broad match keywords? And I'm going to talk about that because it's a great question. It's actually a topic that I want to go get pretty deep on in this week's topic of the week. And before I do that, I want to remind you, please check out opto.com/PSP for a free trial of the tool. Tell them you heard about it on the Paid Search Podcast from Chris, and they'll give you that special offer. There's a little chat box on the website. You tell them, hey, can I get the special offer that Chris was talking about? And they'll hook you up. Link is in the description for Opto. All right, so let's now move to the topic of the week. Topic of the week, I'm going to say something that might shock some of you. Some of you are not going to be surprised at all, but broad match keywords are cheaper. Okay? Broad match keywords are cheaper. That's not really a controversial topic. That's not something that many people are going to have trouble believing. But we need to talk about the why. Why is it cheaper? We're going to go through why it's cheaper, when it's not cheaper. And sometimes it makes a difference. Sometimes it's very important to know that. But let's get through the fact that they are cheaper. So broad match keywords are cheaper than phrase and exact. Why are they cheaper? Well, the idea is this. If I am hungry for a hamburger, okay? I want a hamburger, and that's exactly what I say. I tell the universe, I just yell out loud from the street corner, I want a hamburger. What is available to me? I could go down the street and grab a McDonald's hamburger for a couple dollars, right? I don't know if they still do the dollar menu or not, but back when I was a kid, they were a lot cheaper. Let's say there's a 99-cent McDonald's hamburger that I could eat. Also, on the other side of the street, there is a bar and grill that has a double-decker, double cheese, you know, comes with fries, just a gorgeous, you know, American plate. I mean, just, you know, American-sized burger here. You know, just an American, where you're going to sit and eat it, you're going to feel sick, you know, grease. Then further a bit down the street, there's a fancy gourmet reservations only burger that you could eat. This burger is a $55 burger. It's a lot to pay for a burger. So I have choices from a 99-cent burger to an $8 burger to a $55 burger. I say all this not to make you hungry, but merely for a example. The example is I yelled out, I want a burger. And I did not specify what kind of burger. I just said, I want a burger. I'm hungry. I want to eat. And let's imagine I had a helper that went out and grabbed me a burger, and it grabbed the most accessible burger to me. And That happened to be a McDonald's burger, a 99-cent burger. That is how broad match keywords work in illustration. There are many opportunities for your keyword, which is yelling out for traffic, to have a lot of different traffic. Some is 99-cent traffic. Some is $8 traffic. Some is $55 traffic. This broad match keyword can get all of it. It won't exclusively go after the $55. It will get all of it. Very often, depending on your bid strategy, but very often it'll go after a lot of the cheaper, a little bit of the mid, and some of the high. So you'll get a lot of dollar burgers, a lot of $8 burger, you know, a few $8 burgers, and a very rare of the $55 burger. But you get a sample of all of them. What is the net result of this? Well, that's the answer to why broad match keywords are cheaper. They're cheaper because they have the capacity to grab whatever is easiest, whatever is the most appropriate for the moment. So let's get specific to Google Ads. Let's quit talking about food. This fictional illustration that I gave is specifically how relevancy and ad rank work in Google Ads. When you put forward a keyword, your keyword is perpetually looking for a match, looking for a search term to click on it. And some of these matches are more relevant than others. And when you have a broad match keyword, the relevancy is spread much wider than a phrase or an exact match keyword. A phrase match keyword will exclude and narrow that target. An exact match keyword will narrow it even further. So by narrowing what we're looking for with that keyword, we put ourselves into a position where our choices are less. And anytime there's less choices, anytime we're being very picky and choosy about what we want, typically the cost goes up. I am simplifying this to a great degree, but the principle is still true. Generally, when you shrink your target, the cost grows exponentially. So, if I were to say, I want the best burger in town, if I yell that, suddenly now McDonald's is no longer on the menu for me. Now the only thing that I may be able to qualify for would be that $55 burger. That's an example of exact match. You have told Google, you have told the system that I am looking for this and only this. And Google says, yep, okay, here it is. Wait, it's further down the road. It's a $55 click, but that's what you want. So it costs more. Typically, it costs more. If I yell something about, I want a $10 burger, that's an example of, you know, an exact match that would be cheaper, but I'm designating the quality of that search. So there's a lot of ways that you can actually take these and break the rule a bit, kind of fudge it a little bit, but that's not really worth getting into. The whole idea is, the more specific you get, very often the more expensive it will be. So it doesn't necessarily have to do with quality score. It doesn't necessarily have to do with other mysterious factors. Really, I think the best way to think about it, because our job isn't to think about quality score. Google didn't create quality score for you to stress over it. It created its quality score for the Google system, not for you. So in that case, you need to largely ignore quality score. And for that reason, that's why I stress that broad match keywords are cheaper because of the reach, because of the broadness of their nature. Okay? So, the broader you go, very often the cheaper it will be, until you stray into the point that it becomes so cheap that it's not even what you wanted. If you just yelled hungry out loud, you wanted a burger, but you just got the word hungry out, or just the word food. Let's go with that. Let's just say food. You wanted a burger, but you didn't specify it. You just said the word food. And you brought some tofu. That might be cheaper than a burger. But it's not what you wanted. And that's an example of broad match being a cheaper source for traffic, but not necessarily a better source for traffic. It can destroy the value of the cheapness, right? It can negate the cheapness of the keyword itself. So this is very important that you understand this and why broad match keywords are cheaper, because they are in fact cheaper. So the way that you can tie all this together, you say, Chris, this is awesome. I want to know more about how I can use broad match keywords. How then can you properly use broad match keywords? And let's say that you're a good candidate for this. You think, that stress ball account that you talked about, that resonates with me. Actually, that works really well for me. That makes a lot of sense to me. I fit in that category. So, Chris, how do I do it? Well, I have a simple set of instructions. No set of instructions is going to be flawless and perfect for everyone. But I'm going to give you some general rules about how to achieve a premium level of traffic using broad match keywords. So number one is build your ad groups thematically. Build your ad groups just like I talk about in episode 385, where they are strategically relevant to each other. Everything has a theme. It's built according to that theme in that ad group. Okay? You have ad groups that are thematically decided upon, and then instead of picking phrase and exact match keywords, you build broad match. Okay? Number two is don't put 100 broad match together. Don't put 50 broad match together. It might be more appropriate to put 10, maybe 15 broad match keywords in one ad group. Okay? So if you've established a few ad groups, each ad group has 10, 15, maybe 5 keywords in it. Now, each ad group should be pretty diverse with the types of keywords that it has. And I don't mean type as in match type. I mean the risk of the keyword. Some, let's go with the stress balls idea, some keywords might just be the word custom stress ball. And another one might just be stress balls. Just one word, stress balls. Another one might be bulk stress balls, something like that. Okay. Each of these terms have different risk factors. Obviously, the word stress balls is just one word. Custom stress balls is two words, so that's a little bit better. And let's say bulk custom stress balls, that's three words, right? So you need to use keywords in different ways. So some of them might need to have one word. Some of them might need to have two words. Some of them might need to have three, some four, five. You need to decide, am I hitting some wider, broader keywords and some more narrow, longer tail keywords? Try and include those in each of the ad groups. Once you've established that, Your job from here is to use negative keywords to, quote unquote, train the broad keywords to get you what you want. You do two things with this. You, number one, use broad match negative to make hard line decisions in the traffic you want and don't want. Okay? For example, if you are selling stress balls and you keep seeing custom stress balls Amazon, you don't block custom stress balls Amazon, you block the word Amazon. That is an example of a broad match keyword taking care of about 1,000 negative keywords in just one swoop. That's why you don't need 10,000 negative keywords. You need a few hundred, typically. I can block all of them by just doing broad match Amazon. So it's blocked every search that includes the words Amazon. So use broad match negatives to make massive sweeping changes in where those keywords are allowed to reach. The second is you make minor changes, smaller changes, using phrase and exact match negatives. Okay, so an example of that in the stress balls example might be free shipping. Maybe you do not do free shipping. I don't know why, but I can't think of a better example. But that, let's say free shipping, that's a phrase match that you would use. Don't add the word free. That's a broad match, phrase match. That's two words, put it in quotes. That's blocked everything that has the word free shipping in it. And maybe an example of an exact match negative that you could use, there should be the least number of these. Phrase match and broad match, there should be more of them. The exact match are going to be very specific instances when it is absolutely critical that you block this specific phrase, not versions of this, but only this specific phrase. That's an exact match negative, and you're going to use that in an instance of, for example, just the word stress balls. You might block exact match stress balls. What that will do is it will block when people just type the word stress balls, but it won't block if someone does custom stress balls bulk. That might still come through, but stress balls by itself is blocked as an exact match. Hopefully that's helpful to you, and that gives you some instruction on how to use the cheapest keywords out there, the broad match keywords. Use them efficiently. Use them wisely. You understand why they are cheap. You understand the danger involved with these cheap keywords, and you understand how to hone them in and control them. Use the value of their cheapness to your advantage. If you'd like further instruction on how to do things like this, personal one-on-one coaching is something that I do every single day. You can find more on my website, chrisschaefer.com. Reach out to me. It is a service I can guarantee is worth the investment. It's a $400 one-hour session over Zoom, and I've done probably thousands of these. Many, many of the listeners have taken advantage of it, and if they could all raise their hand and shout yes, they would, because many of them have taken advantage of it and learned a ton. So if you're interested, otherwise, thank you so much for subscribing. Be sure and leave feedback, comments, 5 stars to help this podcast grow. Thank you so much. I will catch you next week.